take a shot, make a friend, just enjoy the moment. I'm Luke Skywalking on these haters. Celebrate every day like a birthday. Great things come to those that wait up. But don't wait to jump in too long. Don't sleep, you gotta stay up.
We kick off hour number two of the program. It's brought to you by the Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union. Check them out online at tvacreditunion.com. Become a member. They got you covered. Anything a bank can do, they got you at the Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union. It's the official credit union of Three and Out. I mean, I feel like when we looked at the offensive line ratings last year, like Pro Football Focus each week, they weren't that good. Like, they just... But I think this offense mitigates that, which I really appreciate.
Hmm.
I mean, doesn't it feel like...
But isn't Ellerbe ranked like a top 10 offensive line coach in the country according to... Is it Bar 2 or Matrix?
I don't remember.
He's a top 10 offensive line coach as far as, I guess... I mean, last year we did give up a lot of sacks, but ran the football well. I mean, we were top 20 in rushing with a bunch of... injuries throughout the season. I mean, it was a hodgepodge of.
But I guess the question with that is like, are we going to do that? I don't want to be 4 or 5 years into the Josh Heupel era going, well, I mean, God, we were top 20 in this and that, but we're like still 8-4 every year because we rack up all these huge numbers, you know, in the wins. But it's that being consistent in 12 games that's tough because. When we beat a team, we just destroy them with stat. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Like that can skew you a little bit. So this, I mean, year two will be a great. I mean, it'll be telling. If that happens again, kind of the way it did last year. But I mean, it's not like we got blasted in these losses last year. You were there. You were right there. You could have won some of those games last year.
Yeah, so I mean, you were right there against Florida, and then the second half, you made a lot of mistakes and. Pitt was close. Could have beat Ole Miss. You were in the fourth quarter with Bama, and then they just went kind of crazy in the fourth quarter. Maybe not Georgia, but.
I mean, that's why we all have a lot of hope for the season. You weren't that far off last year. It's not like you won all the games you won by 40 and lost all the games you lost by 30. You know, like, I mean, you but, I mean, this offense is going to put up. I just don't want us to get caught always talking about, well, the numbers are good, because this offense is, it's built to put up numbers.
Well, Heupel said the only numbers that matter this year are wins. He said that.
I like that. I like that he said that.
He was talking about Hooker, and he said, nope, stats don't matter. We just got to win games. I feel like, I mean, the guy was a quarterback at a high level. I mean,
yeah,
I think he understands. Like,
well,
stats are great.
I guess what I'm saying is nobody runs around saying Mike Leach's offensive line, man, they really pass block awesome because they put up a lot of passing numbers. You know what I mean? That's a very low level comparison, but we'll have to grade the offensive line with our eyeballs.
Yes, I would recommend that.
I don't think Ball State will tell us too much, but
nothing at all.
But Pitt, I mean,
that's a top 10 defensive
Pitt's
line.
Pitt's defensive front is one of their strongest, maybe the strongest.
It absolutely, it is their strongest.
So that'll be a big test early.
Next bullet point, Hickman.
We'll get this out of the way. Joe Milton looks really good.
Oh, baby. It's always great.
Really good and great are the same to Hickman.
I mean, they quite literally are the same thing.
No, they're not. Really good is just a hair below great.
I'm
like Tom Brady's really good.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Okay. Whatever. Yeah.
What? But you would say great. They don't call it the really goodest of all time. They call it the greatest of all time. Really good is a slight step below great.
Okay.
So Joe Milton looks
really good.
Okay.
I, for one, am really excited about possibly seeing Joe Milton lead our offense for a year if Heupel can Dolly Vin a little bit.
You're doing the thing again. The season's almost here. We got Hendon Hooker, and you're worried about next season. Like, what?
Let's just enjoy maybe a little Joe Milton mop-up duty.
I don't know why you're
Thursday
jumping
night.
In all of a sudden. You were the same way with baseball. Just get me to the postseason. I don't even care. Hickman's ready to fire Rick Bonner. Well, go undefeated in the regular season. Who cares about the tournament?
I'm always thinking three steps ahead.
Enjoy it while it's here. That's all I'm saying.
You know, when I was in Nashville, guy was asking me about the baseball teams. Like, oh, Tennessee had a really good baseball team this year, didn't they?
Yeah,
like,
they did. Yeah,
they did. Number one, you know, most of the season, definitely the best team.
Maybe the best team ever.
And he was like, yeah. He said, what? He goes, he literally said this, and I mean, bless his heart, he didn't remember. He said, what happened to him in Omaha? And I was
nothing.
Like, I was like, I appreciate you saying that, buddy, but Notre Dame got him in the Supers. Oh, man, I must have just completely missed that. Yeah. Shouts out.
Just get me to the postseason.
That's not my fault.
Yeah, it is. You put too much pressure.
I'm not the one that cussed out the umpire, got kicked out of the game.
You put too much pressure on the postseason.
Too many pitches.
Left the pitchers in too long. You people.
Is he wearing a Notre Dame shirt right now? All I see is Irish.
Oh, baby.
Wow.
No, it says Delaware at the bottom.
Huh.
I can't. It's faded. I can't really read it. It says Irish Eyes, Delaware.
It better.
It's a bar.
Yeah. Big Irish guy over here. Golden Dome Hodges.
Jeez. It's a really comfortable shirt. Looks like crap, but man.
It does look comfortable.
You can't beat it.
Irish are fun people, too, so.
Is that right?
Yeah.
We've turned the page, Chris. We're on to football. Notre Dame not on the schedule this year.
Any more bullet points, Hickman, from your super secret source?
He's gonna bump back in with this.
Running back room.
Boston stuff.
Good shape.
Whoa, wait. Say that again.
Really good shape or good shape?
Good shape.
Oh gosh, we're going the wrong direction here.
No, I mean, I was told Jabari's looked really good.
I have heard he's
Lynn
looked really
Jay's
good.
Getting the hang of it and going to be a pretty good.
He was
big
banged
addition.
Up, wasn't he?
Yeah, he's not practicing. He's barely played in the scrimmage.
We got some young guys that will be pretty good down the stretch. Maybe, you know, if they
down the stretch of the season or like later on
in their
career.
Maybe later on. Maybe both.
I thought you had notes. What are you? Are you? Are you ad-libbing? Are you freelancing over here with your notes?
That's what the insiders do. You know this.
Well, we have an insider. He's got sources. He showed us his notes.
I know.
I want to know what the source said.
Just hyped up Jabari and talked about Lynn Jay. Lynn Jay's a big addition, and the running back room will be fine.
Okay. Running backs, fine.
Okay, you're taking too much.
We
fine.
Went great,
the running back
really
room good, will be good,
good, and now we're fine?
This is harder than it looks, isn't it?
We're 6-6.
Also, my guy said he's a big believer in Christian Charles.
Good.
So Christian Charles has looked really good.
We need guys to step up in the secondary. He's a big key. Apparently he can play every position. We like that. He's 14, correct?
Yes.
Big shoes to fill. Big jersey to fill. Wearing 14 in the secondary at Tennessee.
Small numbers, though. I want to get into that on this hour.
What?
The numbers.
What's wrong with the numbers?
Number gate?
What are you talking? You're creating a gate. What's wrong with the numbers?
When was that poll put out, Hickman?
Yesterday morning, right?
What poll? What are we talking about?
Have you missed this?
Oh, on the field. No. I don't miss anything.
That wasn't.
I just didn't know what you were talking about.
Was it yesterday? No, it was like Friday.
I thought you were talking about like Might jersey numbers.
Well, they are jersey numbers, but they're on the field.
Oh, my God.
Dr. Danny, rigging the ballot box.
I know. Listening to
what
us.
What are you? Now you're accusing the athletic director of stuffing the box?
Oh, he definitely did.
How?
I mean, there was a 70% swing in the poll in an hour.
It was 75-25 when I saw it.
In favor of the new?
Mm-hmm.
So,
I thought they were trying to make a push for the new because they made the new numbers look better on the graphic.
They really did.
They bolded them.
Yeah, they were bold.
And they made the 10-yard line on the Serif, the old school, like real janky. They put a big gap in it.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
Do you think he found out, like, as the poll was up, like, hey, Danny, we're not going to be able to do this before the season starts. And then he was like, oh, well.
I think he got the call from a couple of the big pitchers. Don't you dare touch my field numbers.
Wait, did he? So we're not doing it?
You didn't see the final results of the poll?
I thought the final results said we're getting the new numbers.
No. 55-45. Mail-in ballots for the win.
Yeah, I'm sure there's some old number mules just stuffing the stuffing the polls. Wait. Because I – what? So the new numbers were way out in front.
Literally up by like 40%.
But the old numbers swung in late.
We do a lot of Twitter polls, Chris.
Yeah, we do. Usually you get the first, I don't know, 100, and it's pretty much going to be that.
It's a sample.
That.
I mean, maybe the accusing him of getting the Butch Jones bots back involved.
Dr. Dan wouldn't do that.
Yes, he would.
No, that probably got retweeted a bunch of times, and other fan bases see it. Probably other shows in the country are talking about
you think
it.
Other fan bases are like, give them this crappy number. Let make them keep their crappy numbers.
First of all, the old numbers aren't crappy.
No, they just look crappy on the graphic.
They did look crappy on the graphic.
Them. They didn't make them the same. No one would even would have even noticed. Either way. Well, I don't know. Maybe if they had just changed it without asking. I don't like democracy decisions. And things like that. Because now half the fan base is mad. Actually, maybe more if he rigged the vote. Like, if you say, hey, you want A or B, Tennessee fans, then whoever wanted the other is upset.
I don't think, if it doesn't change, I don't think anybody's that upset. Okay. Like, yeah, maybe you wanted the new numbers, but it looking the way it always has looked is not a loss.
But it made it, the reason we're talking about jersey numbers, it made a lot of people attack Danny White and say, they don't like our current jersey numbers. They want to go back to fill in their favorite era of Tennessee football.
And like,
I don't hate all the numbers. Some of them do look weird.
It not changing is not a big deal if you don't go out and get bots to swing the poll results. But like now it is a big deal.
If you're a liar.
You really think he got bots?
You don't have a – like it's mathematically
– what? I should have screenshot.
Impossible. To have a swing that big. Highly unlikely. Maybe not impossible. But like,
I mean, I feel like all the people with bigger Twitter followers would have been even more likely to have voters that would want the new.
Danny White has 68,000 followers, and the poll got 41,000 votes. That is not crazy.
No, it's crazy.
It was retweeted like, 262 times. A lot of people.
What's crazy is like 15,000 votes in. It was 75-25 one way, and then all the votes poured in the other direction.
Well, maybe the younger crowd
was
on
a precinct that didn't report till late.
No, like, maybe the young people were on Twitter early and voted quick, and then
young people wouldn't be on there early. They're too busy sleeping. They're young people. The old people.
Do you like that he made a decision based on a Twitter poll? What about all the season ticket holders that aren't on Twitter?
They won't even know because it'll be the same.
Well, I know that.
No one's hurt. Everyone's fine. It's numbers on a field. What are we doing? Who cares?
Well, let's just go ahead and start calling plays via Twitter. Making decisions in recruiting.
Now that would be fun. First play, runner pass.
Should we offer this defensive end or that one? I don't know. This guy's a little longer, but this one's a little quicker.
I can't believe you guys are accusing Dr. Dan of manipulating a
Twitter
poll.
Something happened. It was fishy.
Yeah, the people have spoken. It's a democracy. Votes.
We'll come back.
Maybe I won't. You guys are going at the AD. Especially you, Hickman. You should be ashamed.
I got who was injured after the first scrimmage.
Wow, great tease. Come back to hear that, guys. Woo!
Hour two continues, live from the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios, Fan Run Radio.
Injuries!
There seems to be a lot of guys banged up this year, more
it's
than last
football,
year.
It's football, Nate. Okay. What do you mean more than last year? We had guys banged up last year.
Last year seems like fall camp went pretty smooth.
Well, it doesn't seem like any of them are serious. It's bumps and bruises.
Okay.
It's football.
Yeah, after coming out of the first scrimmage, Squirrel White was working on the side, and pretty sure he was even through up to the second scrimmage too. And then Elijah Simmons didn't practice, you know, the day after the first scrimmage. Solon Page working on the side. Obviously Haddon, Harrison, Wright, Brew McCoy. You guys talked about that earlier. Has something happened? I don't know. It just seems like a lot of bumps and bruises. I have this weird thought in my head sometimes with fantasy football where mm-hmm. I'm like, well, if a guy's going to get hurt, especially kind of a minor injury, you almost rather it happen earlier.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I don't know. Hopefully that's a good thing. Get these guys back. I feel like we had... I feel like we've done this wrong both ways with the previous coaches who, of course, have, you know, given us PTSD for life.
Right.
Where we practice guys too hard, we end up all injured during the season.
Mm-hmm.
And then was it Pruitt who basically was like, yep, everybody's healthy. It's like, you guys haven't hit at all, have you? It's like we get in the
game. Yeah, they didn't tackle.
We get to the season, we can't tackle anyone, you know, but everybody's out there. Or with Butch.
Yeah, can't have it both ways.
With Butch, it's like, welcome to Neyland Stadium. These 18 guys walking onto the field now without their uniform and just in their jerseys are not available to play today.
Yeah, you had to be there early for the Butch Jones tenure because everyone would walk out in their gray sweatsuits.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's check the tweets.
Look, Coach Heupel does not seem that nervous. I've mm-hmm. watched some of the videos. He seems very upbeat. He says the scrimmages have been positive. You know, think some guys are going to get back there this week. It's just, you know, it's football. You get mm-hmm. nicked up. You get bumps and bruises. I feel like this show took a turn to negative town.
Nah.
You sure?
We're
like 2 weeks away.
We're back. We're just resetting the floor, and then we're gonna
better get this out of the way because tomorrow's a big day.
Tomorrow's a big day.
It's Optimism Tuesday.
Optimism Tuesday.
What are you giggling about, Hickman? Do you have any more notes?
Didn't even giggle.
Yep, Hickman, you did. There was a giggle. Do you have any more notes?
No.
That's it. That wasn't 15 things.
Well, I feel like we hit everything.
Did we?
Yeah. I'll double check. But...
yeah, just double check that, please.
So the offense won the first scrimmage.
Well.
But the defense won yesterday.
Is that true?
It is, according to some.
That's a real scientific breakdown. Isn't that what you want? Don't you want it back and forth?
Yeah, probably. You're making that negative. I mean, somebody's got to win. Probably better if it kind of goes back and forth. It says Heupel was pleased with how the defense handled the tempo, the offense's tempo. First team defense apparently defended the run pretty well.
Ronnie Garner.
I feel like our run defense was pretty solid last year, unless it happened to be a quarterback.
You know,
I'd agree with that.
Point.
I mean, Corral had over 200 against us.
I thought it was just under 200.
Might have been like 198, 196.
Yeah, so get it right.
Apparently we blitz more in this scrimmage and
and it worked?
Yeah, pressured the quarterback.
It was 195, Hickman. Don't just give him the 200.
Yeah, whatever. Pretty good pull, just, you know, going off of memory.
So negative.
No, I'm not.
We're 2 weeks away, and Nate's worried about injuries. Your notes, good, really good, okay, fine. You said fine.
At least I was prepared for today.
Roman Harper's got us at 10-2.
And I have us at 9-3, 8-4. That's pretty damn optimistic.
That's two different numbers. Wait, come on, man. You still at 8-4?
Yeah, I think so.
We'll have to tell positivity. Nate about my dream, though.
Huh?
I'll have to tell him about my dream, though. Might change his prediction.
Mm.
He had a bad dream?
No, he had a good dream.
Oh, a good dream.
We beat Bama.
Ooh.
Cedric Tillman, first touchdown of the game. I vividly remember that. We got a defensive score, and we won. Got up big, too.
Got up big.
Got up big. against Bama in his dream.
Make of that what you will.
I didn't believe it last year when A&M got up, still thought they were going to lose, and then somehow, I mean, he shanked that field goal too. There was a.
What do you mean?
The game-winning field goal?
He made it.
Watch it. There was a freaking angel or something. He shanks the crap out of that thing, and then it just straightens out, kind of goes, flutters back right, and done. Kind of like that wind at the swamp that
yeah,
one time.
Yeah, yeah, I remember that. Opposite. Yeah, I'll never forget that. Yeah. Just whew, right at the worst possible time. I don't know. I just feel like you guys have tried to bring down the energy.
That's not true.
It's football. I'm like, why are we not excited?
We are excited.
You don't seem excited. You teased an injury report. Like, who does that?
No, I was just saying, coming out of the
come back
scrimmage.
To the show. We're having a great time. I'll tell you who's hurt. 8-4
I'm foaming out of the mouth over here.
You should probably get that
checked
out.
Joe Milton looks really good.
I said 8-4 but I said that after I said 9-3 I'm leaning towards 9-3
According to McKillis Sports, very reputable, Tennessee preseason number 7 in the country.
Yeah, well, there goes their credibility.
Our pie rating is, I don't know what that means, but
pie
92, as in 3.14, pie. You just always think of food. 92% on the pie rating. That's huge.
Here's some good news. Callaway and Squirrel White both should be back this week.
See? That's very good.
Brew McCoy did some good things in the scrimmage, according to Heupel.
If he's eligible.
Mm-hmm.
But it wouldn't be a Tennessee preseason without somebody waiting on the eligibility waiver from the NCAA.
They're leaning towards McCoy starting.
If he's eligible.
If he's eligible, yeah. And then, of course, we have the Walker Merrill note, as Hickman already touched on.
Yeah, he's looking good.
Yep.
Let's hope he gets approved for that dark visor.
What?
Well, he's wearing one of the very dark and tinted visors because he has migraines.
I didn't know this.
And
he has migraines?
Yeah, I guess he's just waiting to get approval by the NCAA to wear the visor. Because it helps.
Oh, boy. So if he doesn't get the visor and he's eligible, is he going to be able to play with the migraines? That's why Percy Harvin missed all that time.
I mean, I guess he's played through them in the past, but I'm sure you're a lot more
effective. What a tough guy. Warrior. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Love to see it.
Got some more good notes on the flip side of it.
See, now you're teasing the right stuff. The good notes. That's what we want.
We're going to go right to the phone lines on the flip side, though, first. People have been patiently holding. If you'd like to weigh in,
865-546-8200. All right.
Welcome back to Three and Out. Chris is excited. He's
slinging that teepee.
He's tumor cornering the Three and Out set right now.
Get hype!
Quit throwing paper at me.
No.
There.
Don't cover the helmet.
I didn't. I affectionately rolled it. Because... I don't know. We're going to
good win. Bumper choice, Hickman. Good job.
Yeah, I figure it's time we start playing some hype music for Tennessee. So
you don't sound so excited about it.
I'm very excited. This is the most anticipation I've had for a football season since probably Dobbs's last year.
2016, yeah, it's a big one. Yeah.
I had that moment this weekend where I realized there was a bunch of preseason NFL games that had were in process, had already happened, and were still yet to be played.
Mm-hmm.
And I got all excited, And I fired up my...
You got excited.
I fired up my preseason NFL. It's called NFL Plus now. And I watched some started watching some condensed games and stuff. And I was like, this is terrible football. We still got a few weeks left. But it did get me... It actually got me more excited that college football is closer than the NFL. Anyway, let's go to the phone lines. We got T-Carp. He's been patiently waiting. Hopefully the phone works. T-Carp, are you on 3 and Out?
I am on 3 and Out.
Yes!
Hey, there we go. How are we doing, fellas? Like, Nate, you've been gone for a little bit. You come back, and you sound like you haven't had some coffee, man. I'll drive over there and get you whatever you want.
Well, I about choked on it earlier, so it's, I don't know, it's been a day. I'm getting back into the swing of things. You don't want to peak too early, you know?
No, you took some time off, and, you know, you're a little rusty. It's okay.
That's all right. We, while you were gone, we discussed the 9-3, 10-2, 8-4 thing. I'm still feeling 8-4, but I have cognitive dissonance going on. So Houston was talking about how Florida, their ones are good to okay, but their twos are terrible.
No depth in Gainesville.
So, and like if you can't beat Florida like that with a first year head coach, is Heupel the guy? And I, in my brain, have chosen never to. We're not going to beat Florida until we do. So I've got this crisis going on. So like help me out. What's going to happen here?
You're wanting our official prediction of the Florida game?
I want to kind of at least know a leaning, like where do I need to lean toward? Or is it the battered Vol syndrome that we've all talked about, where we're just not beating Florida, or what? Because if we beat Florida, then I've just got us losing, you know, to Georgia, Alabama, and LSU.
Whoa, and LSU.
Well,
I don't got you. I know. I mean, I don't know who I know less about, Florida or LSU. I mean, I'm leaning towards Tennessee should beat Florida. Sure. Like you said it. No depth. First year head coach. No talent.
I'm worried about Anthony Richardson and the fact that one of our weaknesses last year on defense was of running quarterbacks. Not so much.
Absolutely.
So,
but and he's a good runner.
But can he pass well? You know, well enough to then be an effective runner? Because I felt like we struggled when the quarterback, at least we thought the quarterback was going to be a pretty good passer, then he took off running. It wasn't like a bunch of called runs and stuff. My lean, T-Carp, is that Tennessee is a little more polished, a little deeper, a little stronger than Florida this year, but because it's Tennessee-Florida game, and Billy Napier to win games this year is going to kind of junk stuff up. I think it's going to be fairly close, but I have hope that it at home, and I don't know. I'm leaning towards Tennessee gets that one.
Hickman's got us winning by 14.
I've actually flipped the Florida and Pitt game kind of in my prediction. I'm more afraid of us losing at Pitt than losing at home to Florida.
Is it because Pitt supposedly has such a great defensive line, and our offensive line is you know, you talked about in the last segment, is there's some question marks there, and especially at left tackle? Have we got a guy there, or is it still?
No, not only do we have two guys, we're so good, we have two of them.
They basically said that they're going to rotate them, T-Carp.
Because they can't tell who's better because they're both so good. We think. We hope.
If you got two, you ain't got one.
You guys can't see my face, but I am cringing bad. Oh, boy.
We don't want to jump to conclusions on the left tackle thing.
Okay.
Some guys can rotate and it goes well. We just have never seen it here.
well, oh, man. See, now there's just so many unknowns. I do feel Nate. Thing. We'll be optimistic tomorrow, but one thing I kind of do like to hear what Adam said about the running back room. I feel like what really put us in a lot of bad positions late in games is that we couldn't extend drives slowly. So, like, the third and threes, the third and twos, we couldn't run the football and get our defense just a little bit more rest. Just you burn a little bit more clock. I love the ability to go fast, but I also want the ability to go slow as well and just kind of creep along, and it's like, let that clock run. We've got the, you know, we can usually get 21, 22, you know, points on the board just like that. But when it's not necessarily working, can we extend things? And it seemed like we could with that. Is it Evans was the number one guy last year? I can't remember anybody.
Yeah, when he was healthy, I'd say him and Jabari Small.
Right. I feel like Jabari Small was good, but he just couldn't. He couldn't be that Evans guy, where Evans seemed to be able to get that and do the things you needed him to do. Small just couldn't grind out that last little bit of yardage needed to be. So I hopefully this new guy coming in can do that. I think Small is going to be your good, get you that 30, 40, 50-yard burst. That's what I'm looking for. Do you guys think I'm crazy for thinking that? Is that like a little secret sauce that I'm just looking over here, or is it just that's irrelevant?
Milk in the clock. I think it's important when you have to. I mean, they have a 4-minute offense that they have that they go to from time to time, but I mean, this offense does seem to operate better under tempo if it's working. But yeah, when you go three and out in 45 seconds, that's not ideal.
Well, and some of our problems last year were the tight ends couldn't block anybody, you know, and you got the same tight ends back, so hopefully they're at least a little better in that department. They should know the playbook a little better. They should be another year in the weight room, all that stuff. I mean, they're going to be used in the pass game for sure, but he struggled with some shorter yardage too because the tight ends will miss blocks. So hopefully they'll just be better. Third down is obviously critical on both sides of the ball, so hopefully that's something that even if you don't score, like you eat up a little more time in possession, you gain another first down or two, that gets you field position as well, and maybe in some of these games where it is tougher to hang 50 on the opposition, if we just play a little better in those departments, you're able to win those games, you know, in the 20s instead of letting it snowball out of control because your defense is so gassed.
Yeah, that's what I'm afraid of, and that's why I'm just thinking at least having a better running game will help with that. Real quickly, and I'll hop off, high school football, we've got the Blount County Jamboree. Everybody looked great. Heritage showed a little bit of fight. They've got that new coach from Tennessee. So
awesome.
He had the boys fired up. Heritage looked like they cared, and that's really good for them. They've had a program over there that just has been it's just been hard for them, and everybody in Blount County's cheering for them, and they did well. Quarterback at Maryville from William Blount, senior quarterback, guy's a prospect, 6'5", 200 something pounds.
Maryville stole the quarterback from William Blount.
He might have moved.
Shocker.
Moved?
There might be a...
Did he have to sit out 10 games like the kid that came from Catholic to Alcoa a couple years ago?
Maybe not. I don't know the details. I don't know the details.
It's murky.
I mean, come on, Tico. Like, does Maryville really need that much help? He got a steal from the neighbors?
Listen, Alcoa is going to be really good this year. They've got the... They've got a new quarterback. They've got a new coach in Mr. Nix. So, Nate, you going to go to a few games?
Let's see if Hickman wants to go to this Northview Academy Thursday night game.
I got the Tornadoes on upset alert that week.
Wait, isn't that the night that the Vols open? This is terrible scheduling in high school ranks. What are they thinking?
Danny White stealing from the high school time.
Lee, you got to move the game.
There it is.
We'll just come to the Maryville game, T-Carp. Can you save us seats out there like next week so that by September 9th we've got a spot?
I'm sure we can figure something out. So, guys, y'all be good. Come and hang out with me if you want. But I still have my prediction for the Vols, 8-4.
All
see
right.
Y'all.
Thanks for the call. We'll come back. Final segment, hour number two next. Southland band playing Rocky Top, Smokey leading our boys out through. Final segment, hour number two.
Hair on the back of my neck, stand up.
Crush it.
Small time intense. I mean, if you're not pumped up right now, kneel and start shaking. Come on.
I'm sure Philly's pumped up. Philly, are you on three and out?
Good morning, Joe.
Morning, yes. Philly.
Three for three.
I guess I'm pumped up until we lose the game.
Okay. What has happened to today's show? You're out a week, Nate. You come back.
Good to
supposed
go.
To have high energy.
I do.
Doesn't feel. Feels like today's been kind of a downer.
Not true.
There's no bad reports.
That's pretty cool. Nate's all fired up there. That's good.
We got Juwan Mitchell. He's taking Aaron Beasley.
He's healthy. He's healthy. He's back to form.
He's running more at the starters now alongside Jeremy Banks. Thank goodness.
I do like what they're doing, getting a bunch of defensive commitments. They know that's the weak part of their football team, and they're trying to rectify that.
Yeah, get Ricky Gibson over the weekend. Chose Tennessee over, I believe, Penn State and Georgia, if I'm not mistaken. Of course, he does commit and then drop, was it really 200 spots, Hickman?
Something like that. It was pretty crazy.
Wow. Funny how that works.
If he'd gone to Georgia, been a five-star, you know?
Yeah, probably. I don't understand that. Happens all the time.
This is a good year in Alabama. I mean, Alabama can't take all of them in their state, so it's nice we can go in there and go in the back door and get a few of the players that are D1 players.
I'm trying to see. Yeah, he's Hickman, was he really top 200?
Maybe 300, but he did drop significantly.
Yeah, now he's 424. Jeez.
Well, just keep dropping. Be all right.
Hey, as long as we like him, I guess.
Decision on Nagy, though, cornerback.
On three was the Definitely. One that gave him, I think, the worst hit to his recruiting profile.
Well, they were the only ones that had him as a four-star, if I'm not mistaken. And then he drops to a three.
Oh, good Lord. Guys, all eyes to y'all talking about our team. I think the third down efficiency on offense and our third down defense are going to determine how good a team this is this year.
I buy that. Third down on defense last year was atrocious, especially third and long, ironically. Like, you get them right where you want them, and then we'd give up a big pass over the middle or a quarterback run, and it seemed like it was I know Pitt did it a bunch, Bama did it a bunch, Ole Miss did it a bunch. I mean, they just got to figure out a way to get off the field. Hopefully that's why they're blitzing so much in these scrimmages. Maybe they're going to do that a little bit more on third down.
Yeah, and then third down on offense, third and short, we got stuffed a lot last year.
Yeah, short yardage situations running the football, not ideal. Hopefully with a little more depth at running back this year, that can improve.
We have depth, though, but do we have a great running back?
Jabari Small sounds like he's improved his body, a little bigger, a little more durable, hopefully. But, yeah, I don't know. As far as an elite guy, I have no idea.
Is he an all-SEC guy?
Right. I think he'll be serviceable. I think he'll be good. I just don't know. Like, against, Kentucky, Missouri, yeah, he'll be fine. But against Georgia and Alabama, maybe LSU, is he going to be able to pick up, a third and three?
Well, I'm baffled by their running back recruiting, though. Seems like they're doing okay getting quarterbacks, but it's just year two. We haven't signed a really stud running back yet.
Yeah, it doesn't make a lot of sense. It seems like in the SEC, you could just kind of get in line. And I mean, usually there's just a handful of really good backs that go to the SEC. And so they go to, Alabama and Georgia pick theirs, and then kind of on down the list with whoever else and where they're from with LSU and Auburn. And, and then Tennessee should be right there in that mix to, like, scoop up the next guy. And usually you can get, like, one of those stud guys, and then you get another guy that you kind of like because he fits your system. And but he's not as highly rated or whatever. But that doesn't seem to be happening.
Changing the subject, how did y'all think about that Mark Stoops and Coach Cal stuff yesterday?
I mean, last week. I get what Cal was saying. If I don't know why Mark Stoops would say anything. He said, I'm going to defend the players. Like, they, no one went after his players. And now he's made it a thing. And he did it public, like responding to Calipari on Twitter, but not to Calipari, just to the... It just seems like a bunch of mess for nothing. I mean, it's just that's a poverty football program move to argue with Kentucky's basketball coach when really all he's saying is, I want a practice facility. That's all he's saying.
Yeah.
Which it is absurd that they don't have one.
Well, we were talking about it, though. Like, they have another gym on campus. They don't have to go to Rupp.
Yeah, but I'm sure it's hard with scheduling between women's and men's.
Not really. Maybe.
Like, having Rupp be your only gym, though, seeing as it is off campus in downtown Lexington, it really must be a pain to have to deal with, but I don't know. I'm sure they'll get one.
Stoops. Oh, they will now. Well,
Stoops said this program wasn't born on third base.
Which is 110% accurate.
No, it's true. I just
we
don't,
did
like,
a lot of work to get here is what he said.
And that's fun, but that's not what Cal was saying. He Kentucky is a basketball school. Nobody's going to disagree with that. And Stoops, yeah, he got offended by that. No, it's okay. You're doing a great job at Kentucky. Calipari makes at least double your salary. Like, it's a basketball school. It just is.
Yeah, the Byrne built it, and they're still coming up there. Just still cheating.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But is it true that Kentucky hasn't won an NCAA tournament game since 2019? Is that true?
Is that right?
That was before the COVID year, right?
Mm. Wow.
Yeah.
And Rick Barnes has got one, so that's pretty cool, you know.
Small victories, Phil.
And we'll take them in while we can get them. But, guys, y'all hang in there, and I'm glad to see y'all back to full strength. So when I turn on 3 o'clock, it'll go downhill. Mm-hmm. See ya.
Always does.
Yeah, the Blitz is back today as well, right?
I believe so, yeah.
Big day.
And then, big day, huge.
The return.
McClure.
Cody McClure on Talk Sports.
No, he never should have left in the first place. He's one of us.
One
Just
of
saying.
Us. One of us. We'll come back. Kickoff hour 3 next.